Today we're going to be looking at John 1, verses 35 to 40. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. We have been studying for the past couple of weeks the witness that John bore to Jesus. And we've talked already about his testimony to the Jews, who sent a committee of priests and Levites to him to ask who he was. We've also seen his testimony to the people who had come out to hear him, and in some cases anyway, to be baptized by him. That testimony was, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Now we come to the third part of the testimony of John, which the Apostle John records for us. And this testimony of John the Baptist is to two of his own disciples. And as we look at this testimony, we see again how he directs their attention to Christ as the Lamb of God, how he effaces himself and really directs his disciples to place their trust in Jesus and to follow him. We read at the beginning of this passage that this was the next day. So this was the day after he had testified to the people, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And we now have a succession of 3 days. On the first of those 3 days, the testimony to the Jews. On the second, the testimony to the people. And now on the third, the testimony to his disciples. It's about the 10th hour of the day, according to verse 39. And we don't know really whether that means 10 in the morning, according to a reckoning which would begin the day at midnight, or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the reckoning would begin then at about 6 o'clock in the morning. It's perhaps more probable that it was 10 in the morning, so that John the Baptist's disciples had some time to spend with Jesus that day, but we cannot know that for certain. But we should notice again as we look at this passage how John the Evangelist scatters information about the setting of this testimony over the text. In verse 37, he says it was the next day and to two of his disciples. In verse 39, he says it was the 10th hour. And in verse 40, he finally identifies one of those two disciples as Andrew. He has done the same thing before in this first chapter of his gospel. The first thing that we want to look at then as we consider this passage is these two disciples themselves. We know that one of these two disciples was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. We don't actually hear much about Andrew in the New Testament. There are a couple of things in the Gospels about him. We have his official calling, I think, in Matthew 4, verse 18, and Mark 1, verse 16. And we have a few other facts about him recorded in Mark, especially, and also in this gospel, in chapter 44, we find that he was from the city of Bethsaida, chapter 1, verse 44. He was from the city of Bethsaida. In John chapter 6, verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" And then in John, chapter 12, verse 22, another short notice about him. Then Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. This was about the Greeks who wanted to see Jesus. We read of him one more time in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 13, when he was gathered with the rest of the disciples, and they decided to appoint someone to take Judas's place. I think the only reason that John the Apostle identifies Andrew here is because he wants to create a bridge to the next story. He's identified, we notice, as the brother of Simon Peter, and in the verses that follow, we notice also that he goes to find Simon and to tell him that they have found the Messiah. It's generally thought that the other of these two disciples, who is not specifically identified, was John the Apostle himself. Now we find a couple of other facts about them from this passage. First of all, they had become already disciples of John the Baptist. Prior to this, we don't know how or when they had become disciples of John, but that's what the passage tells us. John said to two of his disciples, and later one of those two is identified as Andrew. That's in verse 39. Verse 35. Now that word disciples is a special term, I think, in this context. It's not applied, I think, to just anyone who heard John, who was baptized by him, or who believed his word. I think that word disciples designates those who became part of John the Baptist's inner circle, who apparently stayed with him and perhaps even helped him with his work. This is the same way that word is used later of the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that inner circle, especially the 12, of course, who were there to help Jesus in his work. But they were some then who had believed the testimony of John, and I think we may take it, therefore, that they had also been baptized by John. It's to these two, then, that John bears testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. And his testimony to them is really the same testimony that he had given the day before to those who were around him there, to those who were there to be baptized or to listen to his preaching. And I think the force of it here has the same force as that testimony. He had said to the people the day before, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And now he says to two of his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And he's not just saying to them, "Look at him," but he's saying, really, understand that this is the Messiah. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one, therefore, who ought to be the object of your faith and the object of your devotion and the object of your service. And in a very real sense, I think, John the Baptist is saying to these two disciples, "Leave me and go to follow him. You do not belong with me. Ultimately, you belong with him." John is deliberately sending his disciples away and telling them, I think, to become disciples of Jesus. And so we read then in chapter 2, verse 2, "Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding." These two, Andrew and probably John, then left the discipleship of John and became disciples of Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that they were permanently with him from this point on. We find later on that they went back to their work and they were fishing, and Jesus called them again a second time. But here already, John is directing their attention to Christ. He is humbling himself, effacing himself, saying, there's one greater than I to whom you must give your devotion and your love and whom you must follow. This is a lesson, of course, for all of us. It is not to make disciples for ourselves that we go out and witness concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Our witness has the purpose of bringing them to Christ, of directing them to Christ. And this ought to be especially, of course, the purpose of those who preach the gospel. Preachers of the gospel have no business seeking to make disciples for themselves. They must be, like John the Baptist, self-effacing, and they must direct the attention of those who hear them, not to themselves, not to their wisdom, not to their power, not to their eloquence, not to their persons, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. These two disciples of John, then, when they went from John and followed Jesus, were obeying, really, that word of John. Behold the Lamb of God, meant to them, and I think rightly so, follow him. And they then began to be followers of Jesus. That word, to follow, is a word which is found five times, at least in this chapter of John, and it's a word with which the New Testament invests with spiritual meaning. It's an ordinary word in the Greek language and often used in an ordinary way in the scriptures, but in the Gospels especially, that word is invested with the spiritual meaning. That is, it's invested with the idea that these people attach themselves to Jesus as his disciples and as his students to confess him as their master, as their Lord, and to become obedient to him. And so a little later in this same chapter, verse 43, we find Jesus saying to Philip, "Follow me." And he doesn't mean just go with me wherever I go, but he means come and follow me, be with me, obey me, accept me as your rabbi, as your teacher, and ultimately also as your savior. Look how John himself uses that word follow in chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And again in chapter 10, verse 4, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So these two are following Jesus, and as they follow Jesus, Jesus turns around and beholds them. The word that John uses here is a stronger word than the word that means simply to see. It's a word that means to consider, really. Jesus considered them. You find the same word in verse 14 of this chapter. And notice how that word has more significance than just simply seeing here. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We considered his glory. We set our eyes upon it. We thought about it. We made it an object of our faith. And Jesus asked them then a very important question. At least I think it's an important question. He said, "What are you seeking?" I think that question is a question which means more than, "Is there something you would like to ask me?" Or, "Are you looking for something?" The question is really, I think, this: What are you expecting to find in me or to receive from me? Remember that in John chapter 6, with the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus used this same word, seek, with regard to the crowds. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." That is, they weren't just looking for him, and they weren't just looking for something in general. They were looking for something specific, and Jesus identifies it. He said, "All you want from me is bread." And so when he asks these two, "What are you seeking?" I think he's asking them this question in order to make them think about what it is really that they want from Jesus. Are they seeking him for excitement? Are they seeking him for curiosity? Are they seeking him so that they can have something to gossip about later on? Are they seeking him even perhaps to do injury to him? Are they seeking him simply because they perceive that they may gain some particular benefit from him, like bread? Jesus asks the question because he wants them to think. Why have you followed me? What is it that you expect from me? Are you seeking me in faith? And if you are seeking me in faith, what is it that you expect your faith to receive? It's a very good question for us, too. What are you seeking when you go to church? A great experience, companionship, an opportunity to display your talents? Or are you seeking Jesus and what he has and what he is? And do you seek him not just for your own benefit, but do you seek him also to glorify him and the God who sent him? Now, I do not think at this point that these two disciples of John the Baptist would have been able to say very much to Jesus in answer to that question. They were not, probably, at this point anyway, very clear in their own minds what it was that they needed to receive from Jesus. And so, when Jesus asked the question, they did not even really answer the question. They answered him with another question: "Where are you staying?" Now, that doesn't mean that their curiosity to have this particular question answered is without faith, and that this displays then an entire lack of interest in the truth about Jesus, that he is the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist testified to them. And I think that's revealed here in the text as well. First of all, they call him Rabbi. And John the Apostle interprets that as meaning teacher. Probably John does that because he's writing to a largely Gentile audience, and he wants this Gentile audience to understand these Jewish terms. He does it again in chapter 1, verse 42, and in chapter 9, verse 7, and in some other places as well throughout the gospel. But these people then, these two disciples of John the Baptist, when Jesus asks them, "What are you seeking?" respond to him with this title, Rabbi. In other words, they have believed John's testimony, And now they want Jesus for their teacher, not John. They are, I think, really identifying Jesus as the one to whom they want to attach themselves as students and as disciples. But their question may seem at first to be rather prosaic. Where are you staying? But I think the point of the question is that they want to spend some time with Jesus. They want him to take them to the place where he's staying and to talk with them there. They want time for some serious conversation with Jesus. It would be too much for us to expect that at this point they would say, "Well, we know that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and we come to you seeking the forgiveness of sins." The Jews, even the believing Jews, were pretty much confused about the purpose of the Messiah's coming. Even up to the time of Jesus' death, they thought that he was going to restore the earthly kingdom of Israel. So their understanding is very limited yet at this point. But nevertheless, it shows their answer, Rabbi, and their desire to spend time with him shows a readiness to believe. Hearts prepared by the Spirit to receive the word of God into that good soil, which will bear fruit later. It shows a desire for fellowship with Jesus, the Lord, or the Messiah. But we should also look at this from the point of view of Jesus himself. As Jesus turns and looks and sees John probably, and Andrew following him, and asks them, "What are you seeking?" Jesus sees, and we cannot help but understand this from the passage, that here are two of those 12 that God is sending to him to be his witnesses to the world, especially after his ascension into heaven. He sees then God sending to him for their instruction two of his apostles, two of his messengers to the world, who must be with him then and whom he must train to carry his message, the message of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to all nations. And so Jesus says to these disciples of John, "Come, and you will see. You will see not only where I live and what I do, and you will not only hear what I say, but you will see with the eye of faith, and you will begin to understand that I am indeed the Messiah, the one who has come to take away the sin of the world." This is what our Lord Jesus Christ says to us. He says, "Come and see." Come and see me in the Scriptures, that mirror which reflects my glory. Come and hear me in the preaching of the gospel. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And that's what we should be saying, of course, to others as we witness to them and as we preach the gospel. Come and see, or come and hear. Listen not to men, but to Christ, for it is Christ who speaks through us to the world. And we see then, not in these verses that we're looking at right now, but we see that the most important result of this visit with Jesus in the verses that follow was that Andrew and this other disciple were fully persuaded that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And they then began to talk about him to others. They do not yet have full understanding. Their understanding is very limited, I think, yet. But they do have faith. And Andrew is able to go to Simon, his brother and say to him, "Come, we have found the Messiah." He believed, and so did that other disciple who was probably John the Apostle, and they became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you with his word.